Okay, so let's just speak up briefly the basic halachas that we find in the first parak of the Mishnayos of Moed Katan. In the first Mishnah, the Mishnah discusses that while it's true that you're not allowed to do certain malachos on Chol HaMoed, there is leniency when it comes to doing malacha in order to prevent a significant loss. And so the Mishnah tells you that you're allowed to water a Beis HaShlachan on Chol HaMoed. We mentioned Shavuos as well. You're allowed to do this during the Shemitah year. We say that you're allowed to use, you're allowed to water these Beis HaShlachan, whether you're using it from waters from a freshly formed spring, which has more sensitive, delicate walls that might collapse, whether you're using it from an old spring. But while it is true that there is a heter to do certain malachos on Chol HaMoed to prevent a significant loss, that is not when the activity that you're doing involves a significant amount of labor. And so if you would be watering the Beis HaShlachan from using rain waters, which would involve you using schlepping with buckets, or from a meha kilon, so then you're not allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. Same thing, you're not allowed to dig a little furrow around your vines in order to allow them irrigation. Because that too, even though you're trying to prevent a loss, because the activity that you're doing involves a significant amount of tircha, of labor, so then there's no leniency in that case. That's Mishnah Aleph. Mishnah Beis is a machlokas between Rav Elazar ben Azariah and the Chachamim about whether you're allowed to make an irrigation ditch for the first time on Chol HaMoed. According to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, he says you're not allowed to make an irrigation ditch for the first time, not on Chol HaMoed, and not in a Shemitah year, because it looks like you're hoeing. The Chachamim, while it's true they agreed to Rav Elazar ben Azariah when it comes to Chol HaMoed, that you're not allowed to make an irrigation ditch, but they say when it comes to Shemitah, you are allowed to make an irrigation ditch for the first time. It doesn't look like you're hoeing. That was one point. The second point was that the Chacham agree that you're allowed to fix up an irrigation ditch that has collapsed in on Chol HaMoed. You're allowed to fix up gutter pipes or clean them out, or you're allowed to clean out, fix up the roads, because the second chiddush that emerges from the Mishnah is that you're allowed to do community service. You're allowed to do tzarchei tzibur on Chol HaMoed. And similarly, you're allowed to mark off the grave sites with plaster in order so that the Kohanim should know that here's a grave, make sure not to walk over here. And similarly, the Bezin are allowed to send out messengers in order to uproot Klayim from the fields, or to make sure that Klayim is uprooted. Okay, Mishnah Gimel is then discussed, that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, tells you that when you have a lot of water in your orchard, and perhaps water has collected in one area more than the other, you're allowed to drag that water from one tree to another, as long as you don't water the entire field by dragging the water throughout the entire field. The second halacha of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is that if you have seeds that have not yet been watered, you planted the seeds, but you didn't water them, so they haven't developed enough that they depend on water, that they're going to die if you don't water them, so then you're not allowed to water those seeds on Chol HaMoed. The Chachamim disagree with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov regarding both points. They think you are allowed to drag water throughout the whole field, and they think that you are allowed to water those seeds on Chol HaMoed. What's the root of the machlokas? We said the root was, is if you say that Chazal tell you that there's leniency to do malacha, not only to prevent a loss, but in order to further your profits. So the Chacham are of the opinion that you can, and according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, he says, no, you may not. And that's how we pass him. We pass him like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. The next point was, continuing the idea of doing things in order to prevent a loss on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to trap these rodents that would run around their fields, ruining their fields, like moles or weasels or mice. You're allowed to trap them. The only question was, what kind of field are you trapping them in? Does it make a difference if it's an orchard or if it's a wheat field? And do you have to use a shinri or not? Or do you have to do it in a different way than you would have done it during the week? So according to the Tanakhama, he says, whether you're trapping these things in a wheat field or an orchard, you can trap them as long as you do it shelo kadarko, using a shinoi. The Chachamim say, actually, no. If it's a steya ilan, there's a significant loss at hand. And if there's a significant loss at stake, then you don't have to use a shinoi. But if you're trapping them in a steya lavan, then there is no significant, there's not as significant of a loss, and therefore you don't have to use a shinoi. But you can trap them nonetheless. And the final point, again, preventing losses, is that you're allowed to, if you have a fence, if you have a hole in your fence, so you're allowed to block up that hole in a more temporary way. If we're dealing with Chol HaMoed, in the Shemitah year, you'd be able to build the wall properly. Okay, that was the first four Mishnahs. Then the fifth Mishnah, we discussed whether you're allowed to examine the Ga'im on Chol HaMoed or not. What we basically said is that for the Kohen to examine the Ga'im, the risk over here is that he might declare you Tameh. And if he declares you Tameh, you might have to not spend Yom Tov with your family. And so Reb Meir says, I'll tell you what you do. The Kohen can take a look at the Ga'im, he can take a look at the Tzaras to examine them, but he can only declare you Tahar. If he needs to declare you Tameh, he shouldn't do that on Yom Tov. He should just remain silent. And the Chacham say, no, that's not an option. If the Kohen is examining you, he's going to have to give you the actual psak of you being tahar or you being tameh. And therefore, the Chacham say, the best thing to do is just not to examine the tzaras on Chol HaMoed at all. The next point was whether you're allowed to gather together the bones of your parents on Chol HaMoed. So he said that according to Reb Meir, he says that that's a simcha for you. And so you're allowed to gather together the bones and put them into the family burial plot. And Reb Yossi says, no, what are you talking about? That's not a happy thing for you. That's a very depressing thing for you. And so you're not allowed to do that. The other thing was, are you allowed to get other people involved in commiserating with you? We said no. And the final point of the Mishnah is that you're not allowed to hire a eulogist. According to some, you're not allowed to eulogize within 30 days of Yom Tov. The question is, why not? The simple understanding is that you're not allowed to hire a eulogist because you might use your Yom Tov money in order to pay for the eulogist. Okay. In Mishnah Vav, we discussed whether you're allowed to dig graves on Chol HaMoed or not. So we said you're not allowed to dig catacombs or graves on Chol HaMoed, but you are allowed to fix them up. What about pools of water? We had different explanations of what these pools of water were, but we said you are allowed to make these pools of water either for laundering or for washing the mace or the shrouds of the mace. You're allowed to make those on Chol HaMoed. What about an aron? Are you allowed to make a coffin on Chol HaMoed? So we said that's a machlokus between the Chachamim and Reb Yudah. According to the Tanakama of the Chachamim, they are of the opinion that a coffin can be made as long as you're making the same chatzar as where the mace is, so it's going to be very clear why you're making a coffin on Chol HaMoed, so then it's allowed. And Reb Yudah said, no, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to make the coffin from scratch, sawing the woods, etc. The only way that you're allowed to make a coffin is if you have pre-made planks of wood, then you're allowed to do that. Mishnah Zayin, we said that the same way that you're not allowed to do things that are distressing for you on Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to do things that will distract your happiness because you're going to get too distracted with some other simcha. For example, you're not allowed to get married al yidei nesuin to a basula or an almana on Chol HaMoed or to perform yibum because aim arvin simcha b'simcha. We want you to focus all of your energies of simcha on simcha siyamtiv. But we said that for other things that don't involve a significant amount of simcha, like getting back together with a person's ex or something like that, so then you're allowed to do that on Yom Tov. We likewise discussed whether women are allowed to put on makeup on Chol HaMoed, and the opinion of the Chacham was that you are. A woman is allowed to put on makeup on Chol HaMoed. And Reb Yudah said, well, you just have to make sure not to apply a plaster that they used to use in order to remove hair. Okay, in Mishnah Ches we discussed, what about sewing on Chol HaMoed? So we said that sewing can be done by a hedyot, a non-professional. He can sew in his typical way that he would during the week. An uman, a person who's a professional, a tailor of some sort, so he can sew as long as he does a more sloppy or uneven job. We said, what about interlacing the cords that form your bed? So that, we said, according to the Tanakhama, you are allowed to do. And Reb Yossi said, actually, the only thing you're really allowed to do is tighten those cords. You're not really allowed to interlace them. Okay, then we said, what about setting up a tanner or a kiran, this oven or the stove or the mill on Chol HaMoed? That typically involved applying a certain amount of pitch or something to keep it in place on the ground. It was portable. So we said, according to the Tanakhama, you're allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. Yudah said, you're not allowed to make the puncturing, to make the millstone sharp on Chol HaMoed. In Mishnah Yud, the final Mishnah of the first parak, we said that you're allowed to make a makkah. This was the fence that you're supposed to make, the tent type of fence you're supposed to make around your roof. You're allowed to make a makkah for your roof or for a balcony on Chol HaMoed, as long as you do it in a ma'isa hedyot form, in an unprofessional way, but not a ma'isa uman. Then we said, well, you're also allowed to shmir tit, on top of the cracks of your roof to make sure that the roof, that you don't have any leaks in your house. You're allowed to smear it by rolling over, either with a roller or by using a hand or your foot. You're just not allowed to use this really professional tool, this metal implement, the machlat zayin. We said that if you have the door, the door hinge or the socket or the beam or any part of the door, the lock or the key that got broken, so you're allowed to fix those things in Chol HaMoed, because again, there you have a significant loss at stake. We're nervous that robbers are going to come, as long as you don't plan on doing these things in Chol HaMoed. And the final thing that we said is that you're allowed to pickle anything that can be eaten. If that pickles quickly enough that you can eat it in Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do that pickling on Chol HaMoed itself.